This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Got the Wordle done, Chris. Now you don't have to worry about
That's
it.
That's good. It's not like we're doing a show or anything. You could be.
It's during the commercial break.
You could be prepping for the next segment.
Oh, I'm ready.
Prepping. That's funny. You ready?
Don't worry.
Oh, what do you got for me?
I don't tweet my Wordle scores.
I don't know. It's popular now. Well, you only tweet it when you get it.
I mean, got it in three, first time ever. Thought that might be beginner's luck, but knocked out in four today. During a commercial break, like that's pretty good.
You're a real champ.
Are you good at Scrabble?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I got a decent vocabulary. Why?
I was just curious. What was that called? Words with Friends.
Words with Friends. Yeah.
I used to play that for a minute. Man, that was years and years ago. So another college basketball top 25 action. Providence 65, Xavier 62. Both teams in the top 25. The other big SEC game was LSU 70, Texas A&M 64. Old Buzz actually had to play some real teams now, and they're coming back. Back to the pack. Well, they were like 4-0 to start, right?
Yeah.
Now they've lost three. Probably just a fact of, you know, played the easy teams first, now some tougher teams on the road.
Did
LSU.
I see Eason got hurt last night?
I don't know. I didn't watch that one.
Yeah, I think he did.
I thought I saw that. I didn't see what it was. I just saw that he was injured.
Played 27 minutes.
They had a freshman Brandon Murray come off the bench and drop 21.
Dude, Days didn't play. Pinson didn't play.
That's right, Days didn't play.
They still won.
So maybe A&M's not as good as...
No, they're not.
Okay.
They're just not.
Apparently Eason was just cramping.
Oh, okay. I don't want the guy to be hurt.
Yeah, Murray capped a 21-point performance with free throws in the final minute to pull away.
Yeah, good for him.
He's just a warrior, Will Wade said. It's been a rough couple weeks, and we needed something positive to happen to us. And I was very, very proud of our guys.
Whatever, Will Wade. Did you see Miami's win over Virginia Tech last night?
Mm-mm.
Half-court shot at the buzz.
Woo.
78-75 on the road. It's pretty... pretty cool. Banked it in. Little inbounds from the side. One dribble, half court. Whew, banks it in. Great shot. Let's see here. Anything else interesting in the world of college basketball last night? Arkansas went and beat Ole Miss.
Vandy lost again. Frank Martin got him.
Good for Frank. Big Frank Martin fan. Like that guy. Congratulations, Hickman, to your Iowa State Cyclones. They went on the road into Stillwater, beat Oklahoma State 84-81 in OT.
That's good because they were on a skid there the last couple of weeks.
Have they been on one?
Yeah, started off like 13-0.
Really?
And I think they lost 4 out of 5. But, I mean, that's a tough conference, though.
Yeah, they had They had lost 4 out of 5. They actually lost 5 out of 7. They did beat Texas, however. Tennessee, a date with Texas this weekend.
It's going to be a big game. I know they're not in the top 25 anymore, but that's a tournament team. And, you know, there's not many opportunities to show the committee that, you know, your conference is good and that you can win on the road. How many true road games do we play out of conference that matter? I mean, only one or two a year, really.
Yeah.
So this is a big one. I know it doesn't matter for the conference standings. Like Philly said, it's weird that it matters a lot in one way. Doesn't matter at all in other ways, but that's just where it is. It'll be a big weekend for the SEC to try and kind of show that how they stack up with the Big 12. Current SEC standings, Auburn's 8-0, Kentucky 6-2. Arkansas and Tennessee are both 5-3. So we're kind of tied for third at the moment. Of course, we'll play Arkansas coming up. A&M is 4-3, along with Mississippi State. So they're at 5th and 6th in the conference. Alabama has dropped all the way down to 4-4, tied with LSU. So they're 7th and 8th. South Carolina is now 9th at 3-4, ahead of Florida, who's now 10th. And then you got Vanderbilt and Missouri, both 2-5, Ole Miss 2-6, and Georgia 1-6. So it feels like to me, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, 9 teams could make the tournament. Probably not getting any more than that. Might get down to 8, 7 or 8.
So this is kind of wild
how it goes.
I'm looking at the weekend schedule, and you know they have like the tickets as low as for all these games.
Uh-huh.
And obviously this weekend, you know, SEC Big 12, Oklahoma at Auburn, tickets as low as $190. Kentucky at Kansas, lowest ticket price $250.
Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
Tennessee at Texas, $7.
Okay, Texas, their crowds have been absolutely pathetic.
Why?
The last couple of weeks.
I mean, they've been in the top 25. They're hanging around. They're not that bad, are they?
I guess they're hungover after a bad football season.
I mean, I forgot who they were playing.
$7 for Rick Barnes coming back to. I mean, it's a top 20 Tennessee team coming into Texas. Mm-hmm. It's UT versus UT. $7.
Still haven't won a tournament game since he's left.
There's only two other games with ticket prices in single digits, and they feature Ole Miss and South Carolina. Well, South Carolina's at A&M, so it's a conference game, and I guess A&M fans. What is it with Texas? They just don't care about basketball in that state?
I feel like their fan base, if you struggle a little bit early on, I think they get checked out pretty quick.
That adds up. But would you have ever – $7?
Well, okay, so I looked it up. Texas Arena does hold almost 17,000 people.
Okay. I mean,
so, like, that's part of it, right? I mean, what was some of the other games you were comparing it to? I mean, like Kentucky, Kansas, like those are basketball.
Oh, no, yeah,
schools.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, of course, that's going to
be
high.
Auburn's is smaller, and they're, of course, number one in the country.
Yes, yeah, so that's 190. I mean, the other ones are still double digits. I mean, let's see. Like LSU at TCU, $34. Missouri, Iowa State, $26. West Virginia at Arkansas, that's kind of a good one, $34. Baylor at Alabama, number 4 Baylor, mm-hmm. defending national champ at Alabama, $39.
Okay,
but I don't know. I just figured Tennessee at Texas would have a little,
I know it was
a little
last
hotter
year,
ticket,
but their average attendance during last year's season, which granted,
you can't do last year because they were at quarter capacity, right?
Oh, I don't know.
That's true. But I was going to say, like last year, they averaged almost 10,000 people.
Oh, okay.
But some of the pictures I've seen, I don't think they get that place over 70% this year for many of their games.
Here's your slate for the SEC Big 12 Challenge. LSU TCU is at noon on ESPN2. 2 o'clock, ESPN, Oklahoma, Auburn. From the Jungle, 2 o'clock. ESPN.
I'm assuming they don't have lines on these games yet.
Huh. Dang. Missouri at Iowa State, 2 o'clock. ESPN 2. West Virginia at Arkansas, 4 o'clock. ESPN. Baylor at Alabama. You know ESPN was licking their chops at that one a while back. Now Alabama's falling apart, and it's kind of like, oops.
I mean, that's what's the primest of the times on a Saturday, like the 4 and 6 slot.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think 6. 4 o'clock ESPNU, Kansas State at Ole Miss, 4 o'clock ESPN2, Oklahoma State at Florida, 6 o'clock ESPN. Yeah, I think this is the crown jewel, Kentucky,
yeah,
at Kansas. Two blue bloods going at it. 6 o'clock on ESPN2, Mississippi State at Texas Tech, And 8 o'clock on ESPN, of course, Tennessee, Texas. I think Tennessee's in the... I think the way they set this up originally, Tennessee is the third best game, the way the just from a telecast standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they thought if Alabama was still in the top 10, they'd have Kansas, Kentucky would be the best, then Baylor, Alabama working back to four, and then they put Tennessee, Texas at eight. Those are all the ESPN, mm-hmm. you know, triple header deals. So. And I guess then, I don't know, what's the other ESPN game? Is there one at two? Yeah, and then Oklahoma, Auburn was probably fourth.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember how long ago they slotted these times, though.
I don't know.
It may not matter. About
2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not even that long.
Kind of knew when the... Maybe that... I don't know. It's a good question. But yeah, that arena is huge for Texas. I mean, what do you think the tickets would be if it was here? Think it'd be more like the $39 type?
I would think so, yeah.
So in the month of December, Texas averaged 10,113 fans per game.
Really?
In the month of December.
When they were in the top 25, didn't they start close to the top 10? Man, that's surprising. They're spending all their money on football recruits, Isaiah Nayorn, mm-hmm. whatnot.
The offensive line, all that jazz.
Do you know what Auburn's capacity is for their arena?
No, what?
Take a guess.
10,000.
It's around 8, isn't it?
It's 9,121.
Mm. That's their new one, too.
Yeah, it's a little...
It's tiny. It's crazy, though. That's what they were going for.
I know, Bruce, and he gets people fired up, and he buys you pizza, and he leaves the bathrooms unlocked. He's such a great guy, Nate. We totally get it. Okay.
Rick would be mad at the kids for squatting on school property.
That's not true. Rick used to bring kids pizza at Clemson. Famous story, drive around with the golf cart. He wouldn't just order it. I mean, he would take it to them.
Oh, no,
He'd shake their hand, talk them up. It's what you got to do at a football school, man.
Bruce did it. I was talking to someone yesterday about, you know, him coming into the UC, standing on tables, begging you to come, bringing you pizza. The best was the Florida game in 05. He comes out like, I'm your basketball coach. We're your basketball team. And tonight we're going to kick Florida's bleep. Oh, man. That was a raucous environment. I stormed the court that night.
Wipe this tear off my eye here real quick.
Hey. Oh, Nate needs a break.
I caught a shiver.
Sure.
Gave me a little shiver. Talking about Grant gator chomping. 78-67 when Tennessee was third in the country. That's when that team became kind of bad boys. It was that game.
Was that the one?
Yeah. I think so.
That was weren't we down? And then,
yeah.
Is that the one we ended up winning by 10 late?
One by 11, yeah.
Yeah. Grant had a couple drives where he kicked it out in the corner. I think Admiral hit a three, mm-hmm. then Bowden hit a three. I think Bowden had a steal and a big slam right there, too. Maybe it was Bowden. He had like 12 points in the last 2 minutes or something.
Yeah,
he went crazy.
Bowden did play good. That was a good thing about that team. You were never out of any game.
Yeah.
I mean, we were down 9 points with, 2 minutes and 15 seconds in the SEC tournament and came back and beat Kentucky.
Yeah, sounds about right. Hit some big threes.
I mean, if you're down 10 with the team we got now in the first half, at some point it just seems like, you know.
We were down 10 two separate times last night and won by 7, Hickman. Some nights. Yeah, the nights you don't come back and win, you were out of the game. But, I mean, this team can do it too.
Like mm-hmm. last night.
Just get it to Bobby, hit some threes, boom.
Last night I had a little hope when we were sitting there down whatever we were at one point, like 14 points was the biggest.
Yeah, I figured Florida would cool off, and we were shooting it okay. I thought I never really worried.
I was optimistic last night.
That's good. It's a good change for you.
I looked over, told my buddy, he was freaking out. I said, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
we were indeed fine.
I wasn't worried last night like I am some games when we got down.
No. I figured Florida would run it again.
I mean, eventually. They banked the three in. I was like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, like when Kentucky made all those shots, I was like, eh.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Like I knew that, I said I knew. It didn't happen. I thought Kentucky would cool off. We'd get closer, but I still thought we'd lose. Last night, it was like, when Florida cools off, I think we'll probably still win this game.
Yeah.
It was just a completely different feel. I mean, and you kind of know that Kentucky's got a ton of talent and kind of knew Florida, you know, definitely didn't shorthand it last night.
Yeah, ran out of gas. Did you see what Rick Barnes said about the post-game handshake?
No.
He said, there's always chirping going on in the game. I told our team afterwards that I understand being competitive and getting after it, but we're going to have a class program. There are some times where you have to just move on. Again, I get it. I played the game once, just once, so I get it. But we're going to do things in a class way. We got one with Euros talking to the other team's bench. That's not going to happen. Come on. I don't want any player on our team disrespecting the other coaching staff. Being immature is what I call it. We're going to be classy in the way we do things. Do I want to play with emotions and fire? Absolutely. But we're not going to get technical fouls. We don't need it. Some of this tonight was both teams going at it. That's what got Santi on the bench. The double technical was his second technical. Not in that game, though, right? Is that second technical in the last three?
Mm, yeah.
We've had a technical in the last three games.
I get what Rick's saying, but we're not throwing punches. Let's not neuter these guys, right?
I mean, the win streak started when we started doing
this. That's what
I'm
saying, right? I mean, we're starting to play with an edge. We're not going to get bullied, and now we got our coach saying, hey, guys, be nice.
Well, he just doesn't want them. I mean, I think he wants it. He's just trying to funnel it in the right direction. It's fine. I mean, we don't need our players yelling at the other team's, you know, coaches.
Is that what they were doing? Like LSU, they did it because the coach threw the ball in the stands.
Right. No, I think Rick Barnes has always had a thing about opposing players shouldn't talk. His coaches shouldn't yell at opposing players, and his players shouldn't yell at opposing coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And you better believe, if an opposing coach says anything at one of our players, Rick Barnes can be the first one to be ready to fight.
I don't know about that.
No, it happened in the ACC tournament. He tried to fight Dean Smith.
Yeah,
that was
like
the whole
50
reason.
Years ago, Nate. I don't think Rick Barnes is going to go throw a punch at
Will
Wade. Well,
not now. I said he'd be ready to fight. I don't think he would. He just that's his thing. It was a Clemson player fouled Stackhouse, and Dean Smith yelled at the Clemson player, and that's when Rick Barnes was not having it. So I think he always has had a thing about opposing coaches,
mm-hmm.
and coaches and players should not talk at all if they're not the same team. This is kind of his deal.
He was asked about the Texas game this weekend. He said, I'm 7 years removed. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer. I really am.
He was almost.
Unless UCLA had paid that buyout. Yeah. I'm just giving him a hard time with that. But that was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the last year of the Irwin Center. Is Texas getting a new arena? That's kind of kind of wild. And
really?
They still can't get people into.
They might want to downsize.
I guess they might be. Honestly,
I wish everybody would go like 12,000 capacity arena.
Mm.
Keep it low. All the noise down there on the floor.
12. What was the attendance last night? I feel like it was a pretty good crowd. It was a little late arriving, but I thought it was pretty good. One second. Announced attendance last night, 20,789. You want to go 12? I mean, does you take 8,000 people out of the stands for last night's game?
Nah.
You don't want to do that.
There weren't 20,000 people there last night.
I know, there's 20,789, according to
17 tops.
Well, let's go 14.5.
It wasn't 14.5. I agree with Hickman. It wasn't 20. I was there.
You got 15? 16?
I'd say 16, 17, yeah.
That's the number.
We're averaging just over 16 for the month of December.
And you want to go to 12?
Yeah.
You're going to keep the common fan out of the arena.
If you even have games terrible.
Like
Auburn has when they play at home in a big game, yeah, give me 12,000 people.
You were at the Arizona game. That was good. I mean, the what makes Auburn so nice is that they put the students right there on the sideline.
You know how I feel about the Arizona game. The crowd and fans, we overrated how great that atmosphere was just because it was the first time we've had that since COVID, really.
I'm not saying it was the best environment ever, but it was a good crowd. You
how
disagree?
Was it last night? Rate the crowd last night, Chris. You were there.
It was late arriving, 6 o'clock tip. Makes it kind of tough. And I figured it would happen. It was kind of a what's going on crowd, and then as soon as Tennessee took the lead, boom. Lid blew off. Okay. I got no problems. For a Wednesday night at 6, I thought it was a really good crowd. Against, you know, a not great Florida team.
What does Tennessee do when they want to rebuild the basketball arena?
What do you mean? Why would you rebuild it? We just renovated it like 10 years ago.
I don't know. I mean, eventually you're going to have some, but I mean, eventually Danny White's probably going to maybe just gut the whole thing, same place, same building. Like at some point they'll just.
It's got a good foundation. I don't know. Anyone want to ruin that?
That's what I'm saying. Just, I mean, because it's got the, like the renovation where they kind of walled off part of it with the luxury boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that still kind of makes the building bigger than it really needs to be. So I wonder if at some point they'll just like the day the season ends, or not even the season, but the day the last game, maybe they just kind of do what they're doing to Neyland there in the.
No.
Just they're not, and
well, I mean, they might gut it out, but they're not going to shrink it much. I mean, that's where all the concerts go. See, Auburn can get away with a small arena because it's Auburn basketball. They don't have that biggest fan base in the world. And they don't get, you know, big concerts aren't going to Auburn, Alabama.
True, yeah.
I mean, the city uses Thompson Bowling for big concerts. And
no,
especially now that you can sell alcohol there.
Yeah, I don't know. They may not need to ever. I don't know. They may just do smaller things to bring more cachet to the place, but.
What, like,
but it already has
the
big.
Do you want a satellite arena? Like, big games are in Thompson Bowling?
No, I don't think so.
There's a lot of places that do that. Like, Kentucky has a basketball arena that's not Rupp that the girls play in.
North Carolina
has two.
What's it called? I mean, that's where Jordan played all his games. He didn't play in the Dean Smith.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a couple that do that.
I like it.
I mean, that was, you know, Stokely, I guess, back in the day, right?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people who wanted to play, like, one or two games a year in Stokely. Yeah. Was Stokely even there when you? No.
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 Yeah, he's a baby.
Spent a lot of summers in Stokely Athletic Center.
Mm.
No AC. Place got hot.
I'll bet.
I mean, hot. Because it was an indoor track, so it's that rubber.
Ugh.
Oh, my God.
Sheesh.
Brutal. So, but no, is that what you want? You want a secondary arena, a little satellite arena, something a little more homey?
Nah.
Okay. Just check.
We're just talking about Texas is going to build a new one.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're shrinking it or if they might be going bigger. It's Texas.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was some master plan, or if Tennessee was just kind of river locked and would have to just deal with what they got. You're right about the concert thing, though. The best thing about Thompson Bowling is it has all the, like, infrastructure in the ceiling to have
hang the speakers and do all that
stuff.
Yeah.
So that's probably why they would never really. I mean, they might gut kind of the soft stuff at some point to do like a Danny White. You know, like, hey, we're gonna add a new kind of like football's the equivalent to a new jumbotron type of thing.
But you want a party deck?
There's no real need to.
Is that what you want? You want to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Big party deck.
Big standing room only.
I mean, it was a big deal when we got the hanging four-sided jumbotron in the middle. That was a big deal.
You used to just have to look up at the in the
corner. In the corner,
you know?
Yeah.
It was rough. Man, just terrible.
I don't know how we did it for so long.
I know.
Dream. How can I explain?
Hour two continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer studios of Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw Hard Seltzer. It's already Thursday. It'll be the weekend before you know it. It's a White Claw Hard Seltzer, 5% alcohol by volume, 100 calories. Only 1 gram of sugar. It's delicious.
Refreshing.
Mm-hmm. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure.
Please drink responsibly.
So, Texas next.
Yeah. Nice little road trip.
Yeah.
You ever been to Austin? Pretty cool spot.
No.
Pretty cool spot. Yeah. I liked Austin.
They've got
If I'm not mistaken, a lot of what we did with Pratt, we kind of, I don't want to say stole, but Texas modeled. Practice facilities, a lot like that.
Got a... Trey Mitchell, 6'9", 220-pound junior.
Is he good?
Pretty good. Ranked in a lot of the KenPom numbers. He's 78% from the line, 55% from two. He's 35% from three. Doesn't shoot a ton of them, but obviously at 6'9", he's kind of a inside-out guy, I guess. Marcus Carr is a 6'2" senior guard. He's taken 83 threes. He shoots 34%.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Andrew Jones. He's taken 88 threes. That's the most on the team. He's 33%. Looks like he's more of just a shooter. He's only taken 68 twos.
Hmm.
Let's see there. Let's check their lineups here. So depth chart over the last five games. Marcus Carr at the point. Courtney Ramey at shooting guard. Carr's only 6'2". Ramey's 6'3". Andrew Jones at small forward is 6'4". Timmy Allen, 6'6", plays the four. And Christian Bishop, 6'7". And then Trey Mitchell, they're been their sixth man off the bench, which is funny since he's their go-to guy.
It's like Eason for LSU, metrics, comes off the bench and then drops 26 a game.
Yeah, Mitchell only plays about half the game. It's wild. I don't know. Sometimes the numbers are kind of skewed, though. Carr, Allen, they play a ton. And Ramey. Carr, Allen, and Ramey play the most out of those guys. So
I'm excited about this game, but I'm not.
So they're not huge. No 7-footer to deal with. 6'9 is the biggest guy they have. And starting lineup, 6'6, 6'7 across the front line. So. I don't know if that's – a lot of times you'd say, oh, it's good. Like, we're bigger than they are. But sometimes the smaller teams give us more trouble. It just kind of depends.
Well, that's what Rick Barnes said. That's what Mike White did last night. Started playing some small ball, going fast, pumping up a bunch of threes. I thought Rick did a good job adjusting to that. I'm excited about this game. I'm not going to deep dive into, you know, Texas' stats and roster and all that. I'm just kind of excited to sit back and watch this one and see where we stack up. Great opportunity, though. Did you say this is the only game left on the schedule that KenPom has us favored to lose? Is that still true?
They are favored to win it, 64-61, and yes, we are 1-point favorites over Kentucky, 2-point favorites away at Arkansas, 1-point favorite at home against Auburn. Obviously, all the other games, we're bigger favorites than that. 10 against A&M, 9 away against South Carolina, 12 away at Mississippi State, 12 at home against Vandy, 10 away against Missouri, and 15 away at Georgia. Oh, yeah.
And 15?
Yeah, and 9 at home against Arkansas.
9 over Arkansas?
Yeah.
I thought they were supposed to be really good. I mean, I know.
Home and road splits.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder if you looked at a distribution of college basketball scores, like for every single college basketball score in all of, like for the whole season, every team, Division I, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a little bit of a dip in games that end maybe like with 3 or 4 point victories, somewhere in there, maybe 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because games that come down to the literally the last shot are 1, 2, and 3 pointers differences. Then games that are 2-possession games because of fouls typically push out
right
to 6, 7, 8. Or so maybe, the, or, maybe yeah. 4, 5. I wonder if games end slightly less often at 4, 5. Or if
I'd say that makes sense.
Or maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. Maybe
no, man. Like last night, you know, it's a 4-point game, and then we get to the free throw line late and make some free throws. If you miss those and they hit a shot, then it's a 1 or 2 point game. I'd say you're probably spot on with that.
I don't know. All right, let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotline. We've got Matt on the horn. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
What's up, guys?
Matt, you got to apologize publicly to Bob Vescovi.
Why?
Because you've been hating on him, and now
he had a good game.
He had a great game.
It's Vescovi, dude.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
He had a good game, and I will publicly apologize.
I'm proud of it.
He played good. He made some shots.
I'm
a big man.
I know you are. I knew you would be. I had no doubts.
He's been a stud lately.
He has been, actually. I eat crow quite often, fellas.
9 straight games in double figures for Vescovi.
He's shooting 40% from Vescovi, 3.
Excuse me.
Matt, 40%.
Yeah, he's playing better. I think he needed me to call him out on the radio.
The old reverse praise, I like it.
I think he might be onto something.
Yeah, speaking of White Claws, guy, which I like, have you guys had the Bud Light seltzers yet?
I have not.
Mm-mm.
They taste like a dirty trailer park, I ain't gonna lie. They're absolutely horrible.
Aren't those the ones Billy Stats loves?
I don't want to do that to Billy. I'm not sure. You can.
Oh, they're so bad.
What, do they have flavors, or is it just like here it is?
Yeah, they got flavors. No, there's some flavors in there. It's just I don't know if you could lick a musty couch. I swear that's what it tastes like. It's really, they're really weird. I can't explain the taste of it. It's absolutely atrocious.
Well, I guess we can rule out Bud Light ever sponsoring the radio station here. That's
maybe they
should. Well, if they sponsored, I would like them.
Right? Yeah, of course.
That's why I'm trashing them. Don't they sponsor the state-run nudes?
They may actually. I'm not sure. I don't listen much.
Yeah, when we do those companies, we have Miller. So
yeah.
Stick with the Miller Lights. You're good to go.
It's weird, guys. Like that game last night. I feel like that's the competition we're playing in. Like we're as good as Florida, and they're as good as us. Like if we played 10 games, we'd split those games.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think that's our. You know, we played really good last night. We only won by 4, and they're coming. They're in the middle of a stretch of playing what, 5 straight games.
We won by 7, but they have played 2 games in 3 days.
Yeah, I mean I don't know. I mean, I think we're good. It's just weird. Like that game yesterday was a weird game. I mean, you guys were talking about it in hour one. We were like 94% from the free throw line. That's
17 crazy. Of 18.
Hey Matt, do you like the Bud Light Retros?
What is that? Oh, the retro can?
No, I think it's their seltzer. Their retro seltzer or something.
No, you just said he hated
that. I don't know,
that.
Dude. We played golf Sunday when it was absolutely cold, which was really dumb. And a buddy ordered. We had some White Claws because I like to drink seltzers when I'm playing golf. And
something nice and light. I got you.
Yeah, nice and light. And then somebody ordered Bud Lights, and I was like, oh, okay. And I took a sip, and I was like, oh my god. And then I tried a different one. It was even worse. I mean, I'm not kidding you when I say musty couch. Like that's.
You lick a lot of musty couches.
I don't know, man. There's just something about that. If you've been to it, we've all been in a trailer park. We've all been in a trailer house. It's like there's a smoky, musty smell, and that's what those taste like. I can't explain it. It's weird.
I'm offended. Hey, Matt.
Like a frat house couch? Something like that?
I would say frat house will be a step above. I would move Truly's in the frat house category.
Oh, okay, good.
Hey, Billy Stats said you are correct. The others do suck, but the Bud Light Retro Hard Seltzer. Try those.
Now, I might not have had the Retro, but I'll give it a shot.
Billy. Probably didn't if it's at the golf course.
They're the tie-dye ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Retro tie-dye.
Well, Corona's got one, and it tastes like it's way too sweet. Like there's an art behind that. Like I think White Claws are good, and Truly's make a pretty good one, too. Truly's are way sweeter than White Claws, but kind of just depends on what your fancy is. Mm-hmm. But Bud Light's definitely one of the last place right now.
Bringing up the rear.
Yeah. Are we going to this team, guys, in all honesty, are we a Sweet 16 team? Do you guys feel that, or is this a round of 32 and we're out?
I think a Sweet 16 is possible. It really just depends on the matchup, right? I mean, there are certain teams that we are just not built to go against, and, you know, anything can happen in March. I mean, the team gets red hot from three, or they, you know, foul us out or something like that. But I think a Sweet 16 is possible. I don't know about beyond that.
If they played their game yesterday, do you say we're favored in every game but one?
Yeah. According to KenPom, we are... Yeah, at home, favored by one.
1 point.
Or not favored, I guess.
Favored by, that's crazy. I can't believe we're favored to Auburn and Kentucky.
It's home and away. The home and away difference is huge. Like, yeah. I mean, I know Kentucky killed us. It would not surprise me if we were to beat Kentucky. I mean, nothing really would surprise me in that game, other than us winning by, you know, 10 or more. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if we won that game.
Yeah, Auburn just, I'm not so much worried about, I think we can beat Kentucky, but Auburn, I mean, if you're talking about a small lineup that jacks threes, I mean, that's our Achilles heel right there. Auburn will beat us by 15 or 20. I don't see how we can beat them, really.
You're conceding already?
No, they're strong and everything. We're a decent team, but Auburn's that's probably the national championship team you're playing against right there. And they're strong at everything we're weak at. You know, they're small, they're quick, they're fast, they full court press, they do everything that we don't do well.
and they've got Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith, and no one else does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys.
Keep the faith.
Well,
that game's a month away. A lot can happen in a month.
It can't. We're playing good ball. I'm happy. We've turned this corner. I thought a couple of games ago, man. I mean, Jesus, the sky was falling.
Yeah,
they've turned the corner and playing some. I mean, they're not playing great ball. I think they can play better, but they're playing good and winning some gritty games. I mean, you guys said it earlier. They're going to have to play dirty, you know, Detroit Pistons basketball. Get in there, throw some elbows, and you know, get some respect from teams. And that's what they're doing. So
yeah,
I like seeing it.
They seem to play to the level of their competition a little bit, which can be really good. It can also be really frustrating.
Yeah. What, is Texas ranked?
They just fell out of the top 25 this week in the AP. They are ranked, I think, 23rd or 22 in the coaches' poll.
Yeah. All right, guys. Love you.
Thanks for the call, Matt.
See you, Matt. Have a good one, bud.
In a weird way, the saving grace against Auburn that might keep us in the game is they're not that same type of team as they have been in the past.
Right, right.
I mean, they play through the bigs more. I mean, Smith is a big, even though he can, you know, handle the ball. I mean, he's just incredible. You know, Kessler's always around. I mean, they are quick with their guards, but they don't shoot as many or as well from three as they have in the past. They're more rounded, which makes them a better basketball team than some of those Auburn teams in the past, or Bruce Pearl teams in the past, if you want to just kind of say it that way.
Okay, come on.
We'll come back. No, it's true.
Whatever.
All right, final segment, hour two next.
You're listening to Three and Out, WKGN. Fan.
Final segment, hour number two, talking college basketball. Tennessee is about average making threes. I like looking at this distribution numbers. You know, Tennessee gets more points from the three-point line per their points scored than Auburn does. Like, we rely more on the three.
That kind of makes sense. I mean, we thought that would be what this team had to do coming into the season if they were going to be successful.
Part of it is we are so bad from the line. I mean, we're 306 in how many points per our total points we get from the free throw line. We're ranked 238 from two and 62 from three, which is obviously well above average. I mean, you're taking out a 300.
Well, if we can keep shooting like we did last night, that'll improve drastically.
Well, these that's point distribution. That's their percentage of points.
Well, I know, but if you miss the shots, you don't get the point. We've been missing a lot of free throws, and we got to the line a lot last night. So, 17 of 18, so I think it'll get better. But you got to get to the line. You got to hit those shots.
Our three-point percentage is now about average compared to all of college basketball. Our two-point percentage is above average. Free throw percentage, way below average.
Yeah.
So, we do block a lot of shots.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't feel like it. Where do we rank in blocks?
Block percentage, we're 57th.
Wow. Would not have guessed that. It says here we average 4.7 blocks a game. Does that feel like a lot? Didn't Walker Kessler have 10 in one game?
Actually, I think we're even better than that. I think I read this backwards. I believe that 57th is how much we get blocks. That's our offensive block percentage. Our defensive block percentage is 14.5. That's 20th in the country.
Okay. I guess we don't allow a lot of shots, so blocking 4.7 a game because we get a lot.
14.5% of.
Yeah, so because we force a lot of turnovers, a lot of shot clock violations and all that. Okay.
We're 6th in steals.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Steal percentage.
Yeah, yeah.
Not total, but yeah.
Hmm.
We are 145th in 3-point percentage given up, so teams shoot threes a little bit. Roughly in round average against us.
Doesn't feel like it.
They shoot two slightly below average. They shoot free throws below average. So our defense is so good. 5th in defense now. 48th in offense.
Okay. I can live with that. I feel like the offense has gotten better in the last couple weeks. I mean, wasn't that our first SEC game over 70 points that we won last night?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 78 points. I think I had us.
It was only the second.
I think SEC I had us scoring 74 or 76.
It's only the second one at all. Kentucky's the only one. Outlier game.
Right.
We only scored 68 against Alabama, 67 against LSU. The projected score for Texas is 64-61 and a loss.
3 points, huh?
According to KenPom.
Wow. Yeah. We're winning that game.
Think so?
Yeah, I do. I think they're reeling a little bit. Davey mentioned it the other day. They're going to be looking ahead to Texas Tech a little bit. This is a pretty big game for Barnes. I don't want to say we're rolling, but I think we have been more consistent the last couple games. We're starting to find a little something here and there with a couple different lineups. It seems like Rick Barnes is quicker to say, okay, this guy doesn't have it. Let's move on to the next guy and see.
There's some personnel ratings that are fascinating to me, too. I don't know what they really say, but they track bench minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Our bench minutes right now are 38.7%. So I assume if you take, the five guys on the floor, multiply that by the 40 minutes, and then divide that back by how many of those minutes were played by bench players, that's how you get the bench minute percentage. That's good for 39th in the country. So average in college basketball is 31.5%. Our experience.
I'd say that's probably going to go up now, don't you think? Because now you're going to be getting Fulkerson off the bench. Ziegler's getting more of a role.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, yeah. Experience, we rank 293rd in the country in experience.
Sounds about right.
1.43 years. They have minutes continuity. Which I'm not really sure how they measure that one. I'll look it up. But we're at 46%. The college basketball average is 49%. And we ranked 203rd. It might be a stat we need to start tracking year over year for Rick Barnes with the rotations you're talking about. Sometimes it seems like we got like three bench guys in the game at one time. It's like, what are we doing? Are we, is he trying to just steal a few minutes with all his good players on the bench so that then they're all together? And like, how does that work? And obviously, that decision is neither good nor bad unless you look at a specific team.
There were a couple times last night where I looked out there and I just thought to myself, where on earth are we going to get points right now? But it wasn't long stretches. He'd make a sub and get somebody else out there.
We are shorter than the average college basketball team.
Yeah, I buy that.
across all of college basketball. That does surprise me a little bit, because I assume there's a lot of little mid-major teams that are small.
Well, yeah, but Ziegler's 5'8", man. That's bringing us,
got a 7-footer, though.
I don't know, but 5'8's bringing us way down. A lot of teams have 7-footers. They don't have
Chandler's
a 5'8 guy.
That tall.
Yeah, he's, what, 6'1"?
Yeah. I mean, we're not that short. But. And then here's a fascinating number. 2-foul participation percentage.
Oh.
I'm assuming this is first half. The percent of guys that minutes played with 2 fouls in the first half. We rank 247th, 12.5%. The average is 21.2%.
David brings up a really good point. What's our experience percentage if you take Fulkerson out of the equation since he's been here for a decade?
Zero. It is zero.
Yeah. Interesting numbers. What do you think, hour three? We need to switch to the Shield. Got some big games this weekend.
Are they, though?
I mean, yes, they are meaningful. It's two games that will decide your Super Bowl participants, I'd say. I realize Tom Brady lost. It wasn't really his fault, but, I mean, you know, he's out. So is Aaron Rodgers. So you got, you know, the good and the bad. But, yeah, they're big games. I mean, we're going to figure out, you know, who's playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
The continuity measurement is from last season to this season. So,
okay.
Like how many guys played last season and then over to this season.
Okay.
So anyway, that's the deal. I'll look up this 2-foul participation during the break. We'll come back hour three, talk some NFL, bounce around a little bit. Don't miss it right here on 3 and Out.